So, you know, the topic of my talk is hatching the clutch. It's sort of a guide to the incubator. So, my name's Dave Fisher, and I'm a member of the foundation, and I'm currently mentoring five projects, Daffodil, Doris, eCharts, Heron, and Tuini. And in the past, I've mentored Flex, Olingo, Corinthia, Pulsar, and Dubbo. And I'm on five PMCs at the moment, the incubator, Olingo, Open Office, POI, P-O-I, and Pulsar. And when I was young, I was interested in architecture. And one of the famous architects from Germany on the Bauhaus was Mies van der Rohe, saying less is more. And so sometimes less is not all you need. For instance, his first skyscraper, he forgot to put a trash chute in it. So we had to give up one of the elevators for the trash chute. So, you know, sometimes you've got to re-engineer things a little bit, and, you know, that's why you need a community to collaborate. At Apache, you know, projects that are, the main thing is open governance in the Apache way, and by your project management committees, and then the community at large. We just had most of you were here for Jim's talk, where he went into the Apache way quite extensively. So I'm not going to get into great detail. When you come to the incubator, I was going to show you, there's a page, there's several sites where there's different information on the Apache websites. One of them is projects.apache.org. And if you go there, you'll see a nice chart of the growth of the number of projects. You'll see that projects retire at certain times. Some, you know, at various points, projects have retired. And then you'll see below that, there's a chart of the incubator and the curve, which is kind of a wave pattern of incubation, where incubation the last 10 years has fluctuated between about 60 podlings and 45, roughly. And do you have the adapter, perhaps?
The lightning to HDMI.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Here we go.
UHPC is a different animal. So
here.
Oh no. That's lightning.
Oh.
Give me a minute.
Okay.
No, he needs a UHPC.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll come back in about a minute.
Thank you. So the point is that chart, you can see that there's a cycle, and not every podling makes it. You know, you've got several things you have to do, and incubation has, you know, a number of steps, and it starts with a proposal. So you've got to put a proposal together. Then, if the proposal is accepted by the incubator, there's onboarding. That's where you should get all of your initial committers together, and, you know, they aren't already an Apache committer, they don't already have an Apache ID, then they need to sign the license agreement, and then they can get an account, and your mentor will help you with that. And then the company that's donating software, they'll sign a grant agreement, so you should need to know all of the repositories that you're going to be donating and make sure that they're all covered. And then once you're on board, you know, you're going to grow the community, and you're going to start making decisions in the Apache way on the mailing list. And you'll grow your community, you'll become more diverse. At some point, you'll have to look into branding, make sure that the name of your project is a good name that can be trademarked, so there's no confusion, there's no, flyer project that exists somewhere else that you can't use the name. Because you want to build your community, you need to know your name, and then if you suddenly have to change your brand, that's going to hurt your community. So, but you need to make your community work before you get to that point. You're going to need to make releases, and you need to make releases progressively following the Apache release policies. We've recently agreed to a work-in-progress disclaimer, so that means you don't have to be perfect the first time. As long as you know what things need to be improved and you can state what those are, you can make use of that. Once you've done all those things and have a community, and you can work on graduation. I think the record for incubation is there's a few projects that we're in for 7 or 8 years before they were retired. So we're, pretty understanding about, keeping people around if they want to grow the project and give them lots of time to try to grow it. But that doesn't always happen. So in making the project proposal, the first thing to do is to find someone within Apache to help you and be the champion for your project. So they can, you can talk to them, they'll make sure that you understand what you're getting into and what you're going to encounter and what the Apache Way is about, and, help you formulate the proposal. You're going to have initial committers who will become your project management committee. You need to make sure those people are willing to take the journey, and that way we know the initial committers are really the community. A lot of times, it's really hard from the incubator side, it's hard to know what the case is. So the better the community is at doing that coming in, the better things will be. There it is.
Right, there you go.
Yep.
You're all set?
Thank you. Do you want this back when I'm done?
Yeah, we'll pick it up afterwards.
Thank you.
Leave it there underneath, and when you're done.
Okay. Change my screen size. So this is the chart I was talking about. And this is the incubator. So we've been graduating more than not.
What's the ones on the bottom? I understand that.
Oh, yeah. The green are graduated podlings, and the red are retired podlings. So when you graduate, you're no longer in the incubator, and then you have a corresponding addition in here. And it's a really nice chart because it actually tells you which projects were added. Yeah. We keep a data file. I guess I'm going to jump around a little bit here. So we keep a data file, and it's an SVN, and it's called potlinks.xml. And here's a project that's current, and you can see who the mentors are, and it's reporting monthly right now, and here's a graduated one. You can see when it started and ended, that it became a TLP. Here's a retired project. It just ended. And there's a description about why. And I have an example of a proposal too. So here's the Dubbo proposal. So you have initial committers, a little bit about their affiliations. They chose to talk about other people, and here are the mentors and a champion. So a lot of people will come and sort of have the proposal and then ask for mentors, but I would really recommend that you try to find people that you want to be your mentor and sort of recruit them in advance if you can, so that you know the mentor's going to be involved.
It's about match as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and a match.
It's a good match.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah.
Perhaps you've acted, but if you haven't got a good relationship, you're just not a good match.
Yeah, I mean, or someone may not have as much time as they need. A lot of people will sign up because they're interested. The mentor will sign up because they're interested, and then something will happen, and you'll never see them. So, I've noticed that sometimes it's, 2 out of 4, 2 out of 5 don't really engage. I joined Heron because it took a really long time for the SGA to come through, and the mentors disappeared, and there were no mentors, and so I joined, and at least the SGA happened. Now, in the community, they're making some progress, so it's not bad. It's a little bit later. We also have a projects page on the incubator site that lists everything that comes from that data file. So you can see where things graduated towards. It's not always the same name. Anyone have any questions about the proposal process? Okay. This is sort of the recommended process for setting things up. The mentors will request the mailing list. There's a self-service to do that. You really want to have a dev and a commits. You want to have the commits so that you don't have your dev list flooded with a lot of emails about commits. You still need to watch those, but that way you can keep the conversation separate. So I think that,
it's hard to commit people about it. You've got a gazillion commits coming in.
So I think one of the things we need to do for eCharts is create a commits list and reorient the over by a similar request, but you want to give time for the community to say yes. So we'll make that happen in the next couple days. You onboard, you do all this stuff, join the mailing lists, and then the initial committer should be your PPMC, If someone is an initial committer and doesn't really want to do that part, well, they don't have to. They can say that they don't want to do that. They just want to be a committer. That's fine. So now you're lined up and flying together. And, you know, it's community over code. You want to make sure you're consensus-based. You want to discuss on the dev list. You want to assume good faith that everyone in the community is there because they want to be there and they want to do the right thing. So, you know, sometimes language will be hard to understand. And some people are short. Some people, you know, are sensitive. So just, you know, be nice to everyone. Remember, people are volunteers, and everything's global and asynchronous. There's a great blog that everyone should read that was formulated recently, and that's this one here on the Apache Software Foundation blog. So this, you know, explains a lot of the rationale, the mission, software for the public good. And this is another really important point. Like-minded software project communities of individuals. And then these five bullet points. I'm not going to go into great detail about how to make a release. Justin, who's an expert in all these things, is giving a talk on Thursday morning at 9. I recommend that you attend that one.
Co-signing.
Yeah.
It's a co-signing, which you should probably try and get to, isn't it?
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, he'll talk about the whole process. I'm going to show something about that shortly. So there's various ways that, you know, the incubator can track the resources used by the project and then get to the mailing list and look at releases and look at your website. There's project status pages. So this is a template of an XML document. This is the status pages were created over 10 years ago in this XML format. So it basically gives you some rationale behind the various things you do and some instructions about it. And then there's places for news, etc., which we have a, and I was excavating in this in the last year. There's this big Python program called Clutch. And it does things like, this is looking at the releases and distributions, as you see, it's looking for a keys file, and it tracks a bunch of information, and then it does everything about all the pod links and puts it in a JSON file. So, you know, for this project, we know that it has a commits mailing list and a devs mailing list. It gives the, you know, the URL and lists all the members of, goes to the Apache LDAP and gets, you know, who are all the members of the PPMC. And these are, members are committers, and owners are the PPMC. and then the mentors, and any news items that are in the status file get listed. Groups, have there been releases? What are the repositories? We have there on gitbox.apache.org. There's a JSON file that lists all the repositories that are Apache repositories. So we get a selection of those and get everything for a given project. I've been playing with a fix that grabs stuff from the status file, some of the dates. URLs of Git or if it was SVN, where the keys file are. Here, let's go look this one that has a release. So for release, it has what date, the name of the zip file, how big it is, who did the release. And this all goes into, there's another thing that there was a change to do some of these dates, never really finished completely, but there's a little YAML file in a directory for a lot of projects, and it shows a few pieces of information like the proposal name. We recently moved from the wiki to the CWiki, so probably those things need to be manually updated. I'll have to add that to a list of things to do. But that all comes into play if you go to WIMSI. WIMSI is a project called WIMSI, or the Whimsical PMC. It provides a lot of tools. It's not strictly necessary because you could go to SVN and do all this stuff if you have the rights, but it really makes things easy. So, we can go and say, look at, say, this project, this Daffodil, and then if you're a mentor, you can manage the rosters, and know information. For instance, there's a good map here of your GitHub username to your Apache ID, and this information down here, and this information comes from the YAML file. And then actually the Podling name search here, this actually looks in the Jira for brand and sees if there is one and whether or not it's been approved by the VP of brand. So that's sort of the WIMSI thing. The clutch is a table that sort of gives status of various items. And this was developed, roughly 10 years ago. And at the time, everyone was in Subversion, so it did all kinds of looks in Subversion for the repository and things like that. So I changed it over to add all this information. So this is built from that JSON file that I showed you. And then at the bottom of the page, talks about what each of the columns are and how to deal with it. So you kind of can go and look at this and then go fix some things if you want to. Has release signing keys. Has a release in the distribution area. These are, so you can go check things. And there's also, issues with various podlings or former podlings, and there's a list of all the mentors in the incubator, and what podlings they're currently mentoring. So we have currently 88 mentors. And then there's also a description of a clutch analysis page. So for each podling, here, let's pick e-charts. So we have a little page, and it talks about when it joined, last time the status was updated, which was early on, how many committers, how many PPMC members, who the current mentors are, and two of them are in the room, and the one news entry from the start, and then the website, and where the mailing list archives are. So one of the things this is really good for, if you're looking, this goes to the older archive, is you can see the complete history month by month, and then, you know, go into, say, this one and see these discussions. And anyone can review them. Yeah. So this is if you're like in the, if you're an IMPC member and you're wondering whether a project should graduate or not, you can go here and look, and then you can go see, well, what's my feel, what do I think is happening here? Do I understand? Are they following the Apache way and having nice consensus discussions, or are people arguing, or are people being ignored? You know, what is the situation? And so it's really handy. It also shows the repositories and gives a link both to the Gitbox, which is Apache's copy, and then and it's synchronized with GitHub, so you get both links here. Infra keeps the date of the last update in the repository, last commit, so you kind of know when things are happening, and you can watch and see if Podling has a repository they don't use anymore. You can see if there's no activity. Also, it has a thing that shows you where the signing keys are. If you don't have any signing keys, but you have a release in the distro, it won't show you anything here. It just says you don't have any signing keys, and you know it's not an official release without the signing keys. And then I provide a link for each of the for the download and the signature download and the hash, so that you can get each of these appropriately. So the download is dynamically pointing at the Apache mirror system. But the signature is on the main site. So the signature is detached, and you get it from a different source, so you know that you're getting a valid copy, and not something that someone has put on a mirror that's invalid. Then part of WMSE looks at project websites and sees whether or not they have foundation links on the main website to various things that we like to have links to. Let's like look at this one here. So they've got most of the things down, but they don't have a security link. So the security is an important thing that every project in Podling needs to pay attention to, any security reports that they might get, even if it's someone reporting a security problem and something that's, you know, 5 years old or something, and it's been already fixed. You still have to respond and handle those things. So I think that covers those. In the community, there's a project called we call ComDev, which is community, and they have provided a maturity model. So that's something that's good to look into and answer questions about. And they include some samples. Yeah, it's typically used.
When do you use it?
You use it towards the end, but you could do it early. Just like you could look at you know your licensing and all you know everything that's in your project and not be cutting a release. You could do it at any time. Normally it's towards the end. I mean, there's a lot of these requirements, so we're not going to say you got to do all these right at the beginning, because then you would be overwhelmed. And you know, once you're presented with each one, and if your mentor's engaged, you'll get them eventually. Yeah. Certainly, something that it's good to look at.
Justine. Suggested that some public projects, some public may need to use it.
Yeah.
Suggestion.
It's suggestion. It's not, and the incubator didn't create this. The community, the ComDev project that ComDev also helps organize Apache cons and roadshows and things like that. So. It's been suggested from the community aspect of things that this is a good thing. Now, I wasn't paying attention a few years back when this was done to be certain of why it happened there as opposed to the incubator. It might be that it's a tighter community. With the incubator, you've got roughly 300 members of the IPMC, you know, which is, you know, basically you're saying it, you know, 3/7 of the membership of the Apache Software Foundation has at one time mentored a project. So you've got, you know, a lot of people, so a lot of different opinions. It's harder to reach consensus. I don't know that everyone agrees that every single point here is completely necessary. So it's sort of a best practices type thing.
CS40.
Yeah.
Beta funding valid for companies and just about better information. How many times do you see vetoed these days?
Yeah, and
how many people?
That's something that can lead to an argument. Absolutely, you know. And if someone disagrees with it, it's sort of you should like not just say, "Oh, I disagree with your commit, I'm going to revert it myself." You really should say, "I disagree with your commit. Would you please revert it?" And then the person could say, "Sorry, I'll revert the commit," so that you can be, you know, responsible. So it's not like you're not feeling like you're getting hit on the head over it. You know, and there can be reasons why people have valid reasons for a disagreement. You know, there's some debate. Even some people don't necessarily agree that you can veto a code commit. You know. I mean, it depends on why, really. Without a good reason that's technical, yeah. It can't be just because it's going to make it inconvenient for me and my own downstream. So anyway, the successful project is flying in synchronicity like a flock. That's a murmuration. I believe that's what that's called. So, few things, words of advice. You know, pay close attention to the reality of your proposal. You really want to make sure that you've got everything lined up, you've got everyone committed to it, that, you know what the licensing is, you know what your dependencies are, you know what hurdles you're going to have. Are you dependent on MySQL? You might have to fix that because that has a license that's not compatible. Can it be optional? You know, there are ways of doing that, but you should know that you're going to have that work. You should recognize the people who come to your community, and they seem to be committed to the project. Those are the people you should make committers. It's not just about the bit that lets you change the code. It's about the bit that means that you are acknowledged to be part of the community. It's like, you know, you're a citizen of the group and you're doing your part. You might be answering questions on the user list. That's a really valuable thing. You might, you know, be making sure people are talking nicely, writing nicely on the mailing list. That's a valuable thing. Might be writing documentation. They might be organizing meetups. A lot of things that need to be recognized. You should make sure that you're as fair as possible to every contributor. They bring something. They worked on it. They wanted to provide it. You know, make it easier for them to know how to make a better contribution, or you know why the contribution's not acceptable. And that'll be helpful. It will take a lot of time. And this is, you know, another reason why people who are willing to at least review code, even though they're not committing code, those are valuable people too. You always need to assume good faith, you know, and I've learned through the years, you can write an email. You don't have to send it right away. So if you're responding to someone who, you know, you didn't like what they wrote and they're wrong, then you probably wait. There's a good XKCD. This is a little cartoons about stick figure cartoons about different things. And this guy's at his terminal late at night and, you know, here in the other room, honey, come to bed. And he's like, I can't. There's someone doing something wrong on the internet. I mean, part of what we're trying to do here is to have a global community. Guess what? You can wait. Are they still doing something wrong in the morning? You can say something then. Maybe say something nice. Yeah.
And that's because that's legal fair, so I knew it was a legal problem. And that's the time you need to act fast. Most of the time, be clear. It's a legal problem which you know and the other people don't. And that's the time you might have to send the email, have to revert the commit. But everybody's usually fine about that because usually you've got information nobody else has. And that's why the technical explanation is crucial in that case.
True. But you still can revert it the next morning.
It
depends on where it is in the cycle. Yeah.
And if you have to go to legal affairs and they say take it out now, or the legal risk is too high, then you need to revert.
Yeah.
And that's the time you do need to send an email straight away. Every other time you can wait. There's nothing else other than legal issues where you might get sued.
Mm-hmm.
It's suing, basically. You can get sued by accident. You don't want to.
Well, I mean, there's two ways you can think about that, right? You can say, I think it's illegal and I think you should revert it, and I'm going to revert it because I think it's so bad. Or you can say, would you please revert it and give the guy the half hour to respond to your please revert it. That's one issue. And then the other issue is, you know, Like, for example, in one project we found someone had put a GPL file in, and it was there, you know, for a while, and we discovered it. We're not going to pull every release we've ever had off the internet. It's not that important, but we took it out, and the next release it was gone. Or someone discovered that there was a file that was their file, but someone else had submitted as part of a bug fix, so it's not something you can have. Well, you ask them, is it okay? We can't really take it out of everything. We're going to take it out from now on. And they say, sure. They might not say sure. But and then there's also been discussions about suppose someone from a company released some client material in a bug report to a project, and it's embedded in the email system and the archives, and that's gone off everywhere because there are other people that archive our email, right? Nabble or what, for example, or Markmail. I don't know if Markmail still exists, but you know, if that happens, there's not much that can be done. It's and you have to say sorry, and the person who did it internally is in trouble, or the company's in trouble with the client because that happened, and it just is the thing. You can't do much about. I mean, unless it's like truly awful and you catch it right away, then Infra might do something about it if it's immediate. Yeah, again, on legal issues. But I mean, unless you knew, if you knew the release was wrong, and it was being voted on, you have a legitimate veto.
You
have to explain why. And then you hopefully the project doesn't have someone else who gets upset that they have to do a lot of work over again. Which is why certain things you ought to be auditing. You ought to be auditing all your license stuff and all that stuff periodically, even when you're not thinking about releasing, because that avoids those kinds of battles. It's kind of like email can be a nuclear reaction, you know. So sometimes you should put your own control rods into the nuclear pile and keep the cascade of particles from happening, and you can slow it down a little bit. And it's a lesson the foundation learns periodically, has to relearn. But those are private emails. I can't talk about the details. I really recommend reading that blog post. It's, you know, it was very carefully edited and created. This blog post. From this spring. I think this covers a lot of what was in Jim's talk before, but in a different way, written by other people, and it's still the same thing. Any questions? All right, thank you.